You're very welcome to open the Bible in Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verse 9. The title, it's A Snapshot of the Glory. This is the second part of that sermon series. Snapshot of the Glory is a reference to the glory the disciples saw on the mountain of transfiguration, the glory we talked about last week. Matthew chapter 17, verse 9. Let us read. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The disciples asked him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. Still with your Bibles open, let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we approach your word, give us understanding. And what the religious leaders failed to recognize and receive, I pray that we never fail to recognize or receive, Lord. We want to be welcoming to your prophets. We want to be welcoming to your word. We always want to love the ones you send. And ultimately, we want to love your Son. Speak to us right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Very, very brief, four verses. Last week, we talked about the transfiguration, the glory. And I want you to see in the first slide the contrast that is going on here. The last voice, the last thing we talked about last Sunday was the Father loves the Son. This is my Son. I love him. I'm well pleased with him. My disciples, listen to him. And that assurance of his love is something that should be like water, like food that fills our hearts. Our Christian life must revolve into this, by this truth. God loves the Son loves you, we love him because he loved us first. That's the contrast you see here, because Jesus, from verse 9 to verse 13, he says that Elijah has come, and the religious leaders of Israel hated him. Faithful in the little, faithful in the much. Faithless in the little, faithless in the much. If they rejected Elijah, they will reject the Christ. If they persecuted Elijah, they will persecute the Christ. Obviously, he's talking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the herald of Jesus. He was the one who drove multitudes in the desert. And he was the one who baptized our Lord Jesus Christ. And in such a beautiful scene of the baptism, that very same voice, "This is my Son, I love him," showed up. when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And what was the end of John the Baptist? Do I need to say? Beheaded. Right? If they did that to him, they will do to Jesus. So our next slide, I never forget, I put the bullet points of this sermon, putting a name to a face. Raise your hand if you ever said that or ever heard of that. Yeah. You know, this happens when you're talking to someone on the phone, right? Or you're talking to someone on email, and finally you meet the person. And you say, it's good to put a name to the face. I finally know you. So everybody knows Elijah needs to come. Now, let us put the name Elijah onto a face. That's the question of the disciples. Who is Elijah? Right? And it's kind of that curious question I have there. That's their question, that's our question. I'll show you and prove to you that's our question. You only raise your hand, okay? Just to show you that their question is the same question as you. Are you guys ready to raise your hand? Jesus, for his second coming, he said there must be birth pangs before he comes. How many of you, when you see war in Iran, war in Iraq, economy crashed, prominent leader, how many of you wonder, try to put the name on the face, are these the birth pangs? Are these the prophecies Jesus said must happen before he comes? How many of you, when you see the events of the world, have those same questions? You don't need to lift your hand if you don't, okay? Don't be forced. But this is us. Whenever you see a war going out, you're like, is this a prophecy? Is Jesus coming? Is this the year? So their question is the same question we have, and it is totally fine to have those questions. And Jesus answers the question, which is our next slide. And I want to point out to you the very first thing Jesus said in verse 11, to be sure. When Jesus says to be sure, he wants to do two things. One, he wants to agree. Also, he wants to give a new teaching, expand on the teaching. To be sure, the doctrine is correct. Yes, Elijah must come. That's what Malachi chapter 4 prophesies. Before the Christ comes, Elijah must come. To be sure, their application about the prophecy is wrong. To be sure, they failed to put a name to a face. John the Baptist came, and instead of putting the name Elijah, instead of recognizing him as a prophet, they rejected Elijah. So that's what Jesus is expanding, and he's going to explain to the disciples. But before you understand the ministry of John the Baptist, you need to know who was he and what was prophesied about him, which is our next slide. This is going to help us to put the name on the face. Elijah, what about his life? What was remarkable about Elijah ministry-wise? It was the challenge he had on the Mount Carmel. The nation of Israel was going astray. They were worshiping the Baals. Baals? Baals? Baals. Baal. Baal. Okay. They were worshiping the Baals. And Elijah, with a very prophetic spirit. Enough. No more. We're going to worship the Lord. Elijah called all the prophets of Baal, 450 of them, to the Mount Carmel. They set up an altar. And let us prove who is the true God. The God that answers by fire is the true God. Challenged, accept. The prophets of Baal, they set up the altar. What is this thing that makes the fire? The flinge. Not even a flinge. Nothing. Their turn is gone. Nothing happened. Elijah's turn come. As soon as Elijah start praying, he barely finishes the prayer. What happens? From heaven, fire comes down. Burns the whole altar. Burns the whole sacrifice. Everybody in the land, fearing the Lord, weight of glory, just like the disciples have received, have filled in the Mount of Transfiguration. That was the same feeling the whole people were feeling when God answered by fire. The whole people bowed down and worshiped the Lord. After that great event, church, you think that the people of Israel is going to follow the Lord. You just saw fire coming from heaven. Everybody's in awe. What happened? Queen Jezebel looks to Elijah. I'm going to persecute you. You are wanted in Israel. I want your head on the plate. What happened to the prophet? He had to flee. Crazy, right? By the time the Lord God showed up, revival in the land, you think that things are going forward, Jezebel makes everything goes backward. And Elijah needs to flee. I want you to remember Queen Jezebel. She's going to be important for this prophecy. Then Malachi chapter 4 talks about the prophecy about Elijah. Malachi chapter 4 is a very short chapter, 6 verses. The very first 3 verses contains the main idea of the chapter. It describes the Lord as fire. Again, the same element, fire. And the fire of the Lord, it's a twofold ministry. It feels like the sun that lights, that warms, that gives life to everything you see. The fruit, the grass, the plants. The fire of the Lord is like a beautiful sun. But that same fire of the Lord is like a furnace that burns the wickedness. If you are righteous, the fire of the Lord is a blessing. If you are wicked, the fire of the Lord comes to destroy you. Okay? Same fire, different results. All depends on the kind of heart, the light it's shedding light to. in the very last couple of verses of Malachi chapter 4, Elijah is prophesied. Behold, I'm sending my servant Elijah. He will prepare the way. He will turn the hearts of parents to the sons and the hearts of the sons to the parents. Before I visit the land, before the Christ comes. Here is for you, church. What did the religious leaders, what did the Pharisees missed about the prophecy of Malachi chapter 4 and about the story of Elijah? They did not miss the ministry. They know the ministry. What they missed is that the prophet was persecuted. By whom? By the religious leaders. Who are the religious leaders in the time of Israel? The Pharisees, the Sadducees. What are they doing to John the Baptist? They are persecuting him. They, when they look back to the story of Elijah, they saw the ministry of the prophet, and they put aside the reality that the prophet was persecuted. Not realizing that every time they persecute John the Baptist, every time they persecute Jesus Christ, they are literally replaying a story of old. What does Israel do to their prophets? Persecute the prophets. What does Israel do to their king? Reject the king. If anyone speaks on the name of God, what the leader's gonna do? Silence the men. By doing that, they just replay the same story over and over and over again. So that fire of the Lord, that it's supposed to be a blessing to the righteous, which it is, it's the same fire that destroys the wicked, that destroys those who persecute the prophets, that destroys those who persecute and silence the prophecy. What they failed, it's what our next point gonna give us. They forgot to put a heart to the face. They opened the Bibles, church. They did not open their hearts. They knew the prophecy. They didn't know the prophet. They recognize the scriptures. Examine the scriptures. They don't examine their own hearts. And that's what they fail. Why did they fail? I propose two illustrations for you. Selective memory. Church, the people of Israel had a selective memory. Remember their journey to the desert, 40 years in the desert. They complained to Moses. And what they complained to Moses? We were better off in Egypt. We miss Egypt. We had food in Egypt. Selective memory. They forgot about the slash. They forgot about the beating. They forgot about the spanking. Yes or no? We are the same, right? When we are in a good mood, life is good. When we are in bad mood, life is bad. The spouse is bad, the children is bad, the land is bad, the food is bad, the organist, it's never bad. Never. With good mood, bad mood, whatever, you're always good. Apart from that, are you following me? Right? That's what they do to this, to John the Baptist. Had John the Baptist fulfilled their expectations, their selective memory, Elijah is good, John the Baptist is good. But the men did not fulfill their expectation. What they do to the men? Take him out. And the second problem is the bitterness of the heart. I really want you to pay attention to this one. The problem of a bitter heart, church. There was this kid that he was abused by his father. He saw his dad punching his mother. His dad was terrible. Okay? He went to school and the teacher was teaching a parable. The parable was this. The love of the father, the protection of the father is like the anchor of the ship. When the anchor of the ship is on the ground, it makes the ship be safe. Storms come, the ship remain. The waves come, the ship remain. That's the love of a father. Easy parable to understand, right? Easy. The kid could not understand it. Why? Was it something wrong with the parable? Never. Parable easy, straightforward, and correct. What did the kid fail to understand? He could not see his dad as the ship. From inside out, he couldn't apply the parable. That's what's happening to these people. They read the prophecy. It's clear. But inside their hearts, bitter, resentment. They don't love God. They cannot understand the ministry of John the Baptist. They cannot understand the ministry of Jesus Christ. Instead of loving God, loving His word, they persecute God. They persecute Elijah. They persecute John the Baptist. They persecute Jesus Christ. That's when you are able to, that's what happened when you are able to open the Bible, but you forget to open your hearts. So we finish this with the conclusion, very beautiful, simple conclusion. Church, what happened in the Mount of Transfiguration, the voice of God, I love my son, with him I'm well pleased. Listen to him. That's the words we want to keep in our hearts, very close to our hearts. We want to open our hearts to those words. That's what the religious leaders of Israel failed to do. They resent the father, therefore they resent the prophet, therefore they resent the son. But we, repeat with me, we are not to do that. We are to love the son. John chapter 5 verse 39, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. And John chapter 8 verse 42, if you love the Father, you will love the Son. I want to prove to you, church, how much the Lord loves you. I want to prove to you. Raise your hand if you remember this. Nobody will see my face and remain alive. Raise your hand if you remember this. Who said that? Moses. Did you realize that the disciples are going down the hill? Did you realize in verse 9? As they were going down the mountain, that was the very verse we said. Did you guys realize that? What did they see before coming down the mountain? Did they see the glory of God? Yes or yes? Are they still alive? Why are they alive, church? Because of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He loves us. Amen. It's because of the cross we can see His face and not perish. We can see His face and come close. We can see His face and embrace Him. Praise God. Praise God. Amen.